In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord tests the apostles. Test them. They say to Jesus, these thousands who are coming into Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover, they have followed you out here to this barren and desolate place. It's late. Let us send them into the countryside, into the villages, so they can get something to eat. And the Lord says to them, you give them something to eat. You do it. Their response is overtly snarky, to say the least. Shall we buy 200 denarii worth of bread out here, even? Out here where there are no bakeries? That's a fantastic notion, Jesus, but I don't think it's going to happen. Even if there had been a place to buy bread out there, deep in the wilderness, they estimated that 200 days or 7 months worth of wages probably wouldn't be enough to feed everybody, at least to where their bellies were full. I mean, there might have been over 15,000 people there, 5,000 men plus women and children, we're told elsewhere. A denarius was a day's wage. In the modern equivalent, that's about $100, give or take. It'd be $10 an hour with no benefits. It would have been enough, just enough, to almost raise a family. But not quite. But even still, at that modest rate, 200 denarii is the equivalent of about $20,000 today. So the apostles are saying, in effect, the $20,000 worth of bread, even if we could get it, isn't going to be enough. But it doesn't even matter, Jesus, because there's nowhere to buy even a dollar's worth of bread way out here. How much do you have, Jesus says? How much do you have? And we know the number well, don't we? 5 and 2. 5 and 2. But it's worthless. It's not enough. It's enough maybe to just smell and get a taste of, but it's not enough. Might as well be trying to empty the Dead Sea with a seashell. So the apostles failed the test, don't they? They are found lacking yet again. They have little faith. I don't know exactly what the right answer would have been. I don't. Maybe Abraham's faithful line, the Lord shall provide, right? The Lord shall provide. Or maybe St. John's response that we're going to be looking at in Revelation soon. Sir, you know. You know, or perhaps they should have just given that standard elementary Sunday school answer to about 90% of the questions, which is Jesus, right? The answer to every children's sermon question, it should be Jesus. Jesus. In any case, that was the right answer. Jesus provided what they could not buy. He provided what they could not grow, what they had not earned or merited for themselves. And he provides abundantly more than they need because their baskets overflowed. So the apostles failed the test. Surprise, surprise, but guess what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They failed because they were sinners. They were curved in on themselves, bent over on themselves, bowed and deformed by their hungers and by their lusts. They could not see or hear or think. They are blind and they are deaf. They were sinners. But lucky for them, Jesus came just for sinners. To give ears to hear, to give eyes to see, he declares them to be holy. Despite their failure, he declares them to be his saints, and beautiful, to have his own innocence and righteousness. He even made them apostles, sent out with his gospel on their lips. And so the answer they couldn't provide, the miracle they couldn't even imagine, was just given to them freely, in mercy. They too ate and they were satisfied. They were forgiven for their lack of faith, yet again made citizens of the kingdom, where man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our problem is that we're so deeply infected with this blinding, deafening disease called sin. It renders us almost useless most of the time. So obsessed with the mundane reality and the details and the drama that's going on, all of the ins and outs of this life from day to day, that we forget that it is precisely God who provides. I mean, how forgetful are we that we have to be reminded of that constantly, over and over again? What do? Well, we add up what we owe. We add up our debts, our student loans, our mortgages, our car payments, our credit cards. We add the cost of the stuff that we think we need, college educations, a vacation home, a new kitchen, a new bathroom, a new fireplace even. Several large gifts, of course, to our favorite charities. We add something for the future. We got to provide for our leisure, you know. And the total starts to become outrageous, astronomical. It's huge. Far greater than 200 denarii, than $20,000. That's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just the beginning. We pay more than that in interest, don't we? What will we ever do? Where will we ever obtain it from? The stock market, and who can trust that? That's uncertain. That's a gamble. The lottery is a lie. $400,000 worth of bread isn't going to be sufficient. Repent. Because our minds are almost always on the wrong thing. Oh, how easily my mind drifts away from the things of God and goes to the things of the world. Even when I'm preaching, for goodness sakes. It's that easy. In an instant, the Lord will provide. Sir, you know. Those are the answers to the burdens and the troubles that threaten us in this life. The Lord will provide. You have no money? It doesn't matter. Come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. It sounds almost foolish, doesn't it? As impossible as it was for 15,000 people to sit down on the mountainside and be fed with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, it seems like it's even less possible for one man to die for the sins of the whole world. That God should love those who hate them and who murdered him and give his life over to the very people that took it. But it nevertheless happened, and it is still in effect to this day, in this age of grace. Imagine the leader of Al-Qaeda. He's caught, and instead of letting him suffer for his many crimes against God and his many crimes against humanity, you instead offer your 6-year-old daughter in his place so that he just goes free. That sounds absurd. It sounds crazy, right? But that is more akin to what God has done for us. It is compassion and mercy beyond our capacity, beyond our understanding. He has purchased us with His own blood. And what are we worried about? We're worried about the things of this life. We're worried about which shoes are going to match my stupid belt, whether or not our lawn looks better than our neighbor's lawn, who the next candidate's going to be. Like it really matters all that much. And to all of our burdens and worries, Jesus says, sit down in the green grass. Sit down and let me feed you. Let me provide for you. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of you. It seems like utter hell, but I am here for you. He doesn't explain or argue, does he? You notice that he doesn't chastise the apostles, doesn't rebuke them. He just tells them to have the people sit down and rest in green pasture. And he takes the bread and the fish, looks up to heaven, gives thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples to distribute. And if that language sounds familiar, that is absolutely Eucharistic language. He gives to them as much as they can eat and more. Because when the Lord provides, He gives in abundance. He gives in abundance. Don't you know that He does the exact same for you? Our conversation with God is a bit like a small child who wakes at night, scared of the dark, and cries out to his mother for help. And the mother comes and says, you don't need to be afraid. I'm right here beside you. You don't need to worry. I'm not going anywhere. I will not leave you no matter what. She knows what her child needs. She knows that these silly, irrational, these childish fears, they're not real, they're not legitimate. But they're real nonetheless to the child who feels them. She knows that they cannot overcome her son. But the child must simply outgrow them, move beyond them, and hopefully he will. In the meantime, she does what she can. She makes sure that he's safe, whether he always feels like it or not. She comforts him. She leaves the light on at night. And she simply says, I'm here with you. And I love you. So also it is with the Lord. He knows better than we do what we need. Thanks be to God. You say, I can't pay my bills. He says, take and eat. This is my body for you. You say, my wife doesn't love me. He says, come to me, all who are heavy laden. I forgive you. You say, I don't have a job. My friends have betrayed me. My children hate me. He says, I remember you. I confess your name before my Father in heaven. I am right here with you, and I'm not going anywhere because I love you. He is the Lord come into the world who rules by grace and by mercy and makes men saints by the power of His word. He is the shepherd who knows what you need, and He will always, always provide it. He will give you all things even his life out of the grave. And he is coming for you. That where he is, there you may be also and forever. In Jesus' name.